It's really been a blessing and a joy to be with you guys again. And like I said last week, this really feels like home. So, you know, it's been awesome just to be like a part of the family and just enjoy the family. And you guys are so hospitable and you've welcomed us, and we appreciate that. We really do. You've got awesome pastors. Many of you haven't lived with them, and so you can't say that. You know, last year, my family, the two boys, and they were 3 and 5 at the time, and my wife and I were staying in their house with them for a whole month, and now I'm staying with them for just over about 2 weeks or so, and I can say again, they're awesome. You know, they've been hospitable. We haven't had any strife or anything like that. It's been wonderful. And so I just want to commend your pastors to you and say you've really got awesome pastors. They love you guys, so give them a hand, yeah. And, you know, and when Mark just asked me to share something, I was just praying about, like, what should I share on? And I remembered, I kind of just want to share a scripture and a testimony with you. A couple of weeks back, I was flying actually from the States to South Africa to the States and then back. So last month I was here again. But I was up in Colorado. And on the trip, all of a sudden I got severe toothache. Like it was really, really bad. And I've had a lot of dental issues in my life. Because when I was 1 year old, I tripped while my parents were playing with me in the garden. And my chin hit a flower pot and my teeth went through my bottom lip and damaged the buds. And they said I'd never have teeth again in the top and all sorts of things. And miracle is the teeth came out, but they needed some work. And so I've been in the dentist a lot and I don't like that. So I know what pain is like in the dentist chair. But at the same time, I've got a great dentist back home, so I don't mind going back to him. I just don't like going to him because, you know, the bill always hurts, right? The bill hurts more than he hurts me. And so I was flying, and all of a sudden I had this toothache. And I was like, resisting it, praying, resisting it, exercising my faith, releasing my faith. And I promise you, I went to these meetings that I was invited to go to, and I was like, I didn't come halfway across the world to go and lie in bed and just feel sorry for myself. So I'm just going to faith it up and go for it. Put my big boy pants on and let's go for it. So I was just like praying and spending time with the Lord. Instead of going for a hike with everyone in the mountains, I stayed home and I just prayed and rested. And, you know, and to be honest, nothing happened. It just got worse. And so I was like, well, you know, my insurance will cover me while I'm here. When I go home, I have to pay cash. So I'm going to get this sorted out here. So I found a dentist. I walked down the road. It was close the one morning before the session started, and he took x-rays, couldn't find out what was wrong. And he said, whatever it is, I can't deal with it because I'm not that kind of dentist. And you look like you've got a good dentist. So I'd say go back home. And I was very disappointed. And the bill wasn't enough for insurance to cover it, so I had to still cover it. And then I go to the pharmacy to get some painkillers and stuff that he prescribed, and I'm sitting at the Starbucks next to it, and I'm holding back the tears. That's how painful it is. And I have a high pain threshold. You know, in that kind of situation, that's where we got to still continue to stand on the word, exercise our faith, and go for it. You know, and I've endured a lot and overcome a lot, and so I know I could do this. So I just kept standing, took the painkillers to be able to just at least think. Because sometimes pain is so bad you can't think to pray, right? So it's not bad. Painkillers aren't of the devil. If you take painkillers, the devil still loses, right? The devil didn't create painkillers, right? The nurse says amen. And so, you know, I was then, because he said, you know, you're going to need these painkillers on the flight because of the air pressure and all this. So I'm on this flight and I'm sitting, I was right at the back of the plane. I had the back of the plane to myself, fortunately. So I was praying and resisting, and it's still painful. And, you know, I had phoned my wife, and she had booked an appointment for me pretty much. I arrived, I think, on the Saturday. I ministered on the Sunday, and then on the Monday, I went to the dentist. And Monday, I walk into the dentist, and I'm taking these pills like every 3 hours so that I don't have to experience the pain. And I walk into the dentist, and he's an elder of his church, and, you know, I've known him since I was little, so get along with him well. And he takes a look. He says, I can't see what's wrong with it either. And I've had root canal on that tooth, so he drilled in to try and check out what happened. He's like, I can't see anything wrong with this tooth. And I was like, yeah, it really hurts. And he's like, well, if it doesn't get better in a couple of days, come back and we'll have to pull it. I was like, that ain't happening. Straight away inside of me, I was like, that is not happening. And I think I then kicked into real faith. Because I was like, I'm not doing this. And long story short, I'll share where it all flipped in my head as well. But he finished up with him, and then I was in the shopping center where he operates from. And I said to my wife, I better go and take these painkillers, which means I've got to eat something first. And we were looking for something to eat, and I was like, it's 2 hours over, and I don't have any pain. Let's just see how long this goes. And it was done. The next week, I went back to him just for the checkup, and he's like, have you been in any pain? I said, that's been perfect since I left you. And it was absolutely perfect, completely healed, no problem. Praise God. But the switch flipped in my mind when I was praying about it. And I was like, God, where am I missing it? What am I missing here? There should be something. And then I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm asking God for direction as to, like, because sometimes we don't know everything. So where am I? What's not work? Why is this not working here? I believe this is going to encourage some of you this morning who are kind of like, I know that I'm in faith. I know that this should be dealt with. Why isn't it working? That's the wrong question. It is working. And I sat on there on the plane, and I was like, why? Before I said, why isn't it working, Lord? I said, that's the wrong question. And I said, why am I not seeing my faith effectual? I changed my question very quickly. And then as I said that, the answer dropped into my heart straight away. And I was like, you know, where does the word effectual come from? It comes from Philemon, verse 6 in chapter 1. And it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Okay, that your faith may begin to work because you're starting to recognize every good thing which you have in Jesus. And all of a sudden the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you're speaking to the mountain, you're releasing your faith through your words, and that's good, but you're focusing on the problem still. You're not focused on what's inside of you, who's inside of you, what you've got in Christ. So stop focusing on the negative in your prayer and in your faith, speaking out in faith, and start focusing in on what you've got. That changed everything for me. That's where I started to see things starting to change, was when I started to communicate my faith, acknowledge my faith. You know, the word acknowledge means recognize. You can't recognize something that doesn't exist. So I was recognizing that Jesus is in me. I was recognizing that I've got healing in me. I was recognizing that I've got the solution. And I stopped speaking to the pain. I'd spoken to the pain, but I didn't need to do that anymore. Now I needed to say, thank you, Jesus, that I've got that you're the healer and you're in me. Thank you that this has to change now because you're here. I've given you room to move. I've given you space to do what you need to do. And I just released my faith in that area. And that's when things radically changed. And that really blessed me, and I trust it blesses you, just to realize that your faith begins to work when you stop focusing on the problem. You've spoken to the problem, but now you're acknowledging what you have in Christ Jesus. It says, acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So stop acknowledging the bad thing in you, the problem that you're trying to deal with, and start acknowledging the good thing that's in you because Jesus is in you.
I've been doing a series on faith foundations, faith foundations. The Bible says that the just, the righteous, we live by faith. That's why that's why the name of this church is Life of Faith. Because it's not just, you know, faith isn't a switch that you turn off or off whenever you want something. It actually is a lifestyle that you get to experience God's life, His promises, His joy, His abundance. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes not except for to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come. So first of all, there's a clear distinction that if you've got something stealing or killing in your life, that it didn't come from God. It didn't come from God. Guys, I don't know if you hear it or not, but we got a little bit of a ring up here. So James chapter 1, I think it's verse 17, says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. If you back up, it says that let no man say when he is tempted, when he is tested, when he is tried, that God's the one that's doing it. Don't ever say that God's causing you to go through a trial. God's doing this. God's caused these problems to come into your life, because it says very clearly, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt, test, or try anybody with evil. You have to have a clear dividing line between what's good and what's bad. And what's bad comes from the devil. What's bad comes from darkness. What's bad comes as a result of sin and what Adam and Eve did and what came into the world. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world. But Jesus came and was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Every good gift, every perfect gift, it goes on to say, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You have, if you're going to receive all the good that God has for you, you've got to establish in your heart that God is good. If you think that some of the difficult times that you go through and some of the things that you have happening in your life is because God is allowing it for some purpose of his own, that God is wanting you to go through it, then what will happen is you will empower that thing to run its course in your life. You'll absolutely empower darkness. Darkness says, thank you very much for saying that it's God's fault. I'm just going to come in now, and I'm going to come based on that belief system and destroy your life. It'll also paralyze you and hinder you from releasing faith in what God has made available for you. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 tells us that we enter into God's grace. Now, what is God's grace? It's everything that he has provided for us freely. It's everything that he's done for us. It's everything that he has given to us. God has made the most amazing life available to you. He doesn't want his children to experience what everybody else does. There's a wrong thinking. There's a wrong mentality sometimes out there in the Christian world that, man, when I'm saved, I get to go to heaven. But, you know, but we're living in a world just like everybody else is. And the same stuff that happens to the world, you know, I have to go through as well. But one day in the sweet by and by, when I get to heaven, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be fantastic. No, God made a very clear distinction between Egypt, which was a type of the world, and between his children. And when difficulties came and when the plagues came and all the things happened, you know, the 10 different plagues that happened on Egypt, which again, the type of the world, what happened to the children of Israel, the area that they lived in? They were protected. They were set apart. When it was dark and darkness covered Egypt, they were still in the light. When hailstones and all of that came through and destroyed the crops and things like that, right over here in this little suburb of Egypt, nothing happened. Completely protected. Why? God's children are in a different kingdom. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, you know it, but it says that he has qualified us. We don't qualify ourselves, man. That's good news. We don't qualify ourselves. He's qualified us. Let's just pull that scripture up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 1, 12 says, he has giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So you don't qualify yourself. What's the next verse say? And look at this. He has delivered us. That's a past tense deal, man. Now you either believe this or you don't. Okay? You can let your experience define what you believe, or you can let the Word define what you believe. If your experience defines what you believe, well, I haven't been delivered. I haven't been healed. I haven't experienced salvation. I haven't experienced freedom. Then what you're saying is that this scripture is not true. Which then you're saying that the Bible's not true and that maybe God's not true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I want to say, let God be true, let his word be true, and every one of your experiences that don't line up with that word be a liar. Amen. The change in our lives which I've shared our story, 8 years ago began when we said, instead of letting our experience, even with having good teaching and having good doctrine, we still, somehow our experience shaped the way that we thought. Our experience shaped the way that we believed. We would ask questions like Shane was saying, why isn't this working? Why aren't we experiencing? See, where's that word? There's that word experience. So what I'm saying, why aren't we experiencing the promises of God? And so our experience was creating more questions than our belief in what God had said. But this word says he's already delivered us from the power of darkness. So my question to you is, have you been delivered from the power of darkness? Are you convinced in that in your heart? And he's moved us, he's conveyed us, he's transported us. He's translated us, the King James Version says, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You are firmly in a whole different kingdom. Now check this out. In this kingdom, there's a whole different, there's another government. There's another way to live. There's rules to live by, if you want to talk about that. That's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. The problem is most Christians are still living with a worldly mindset because that's all that they've lived, and don't recognize that there's a whole new mindset, a whole new way of living. Hebrews tells us that because of Jesus' blood and what he's done, he has created for us a new and living way. What you believe has got to change if your experience is going to change. So we have determined to set ourselves to seek the kingdom of God and to learn what he's saying and how things work in his kingdom. It doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't come just because you're a Christian. You're a Christian, man, everything's just going to turn around and be good. No, no. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says we have access into his grace. His grace took us. See, right here, this scripture, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. All of that came because of him. All of that came because of his grace. But I don't get to receive any of it unless I first believe. I don't get to experience any of it unless I first believe. Years ago, I started having pain in this area of my body, and so like after I would eat maybe an hour or two, man, just this horrible pain would just hit me, and this went on for months, and it got so bad that and the first thing that I thought, man, it's probably my gallbladder, but I don't like going to the doctor. I don't run to the doctor for every pain that I have, you know. I mean, I'm gonna man up. It's going to work its way out, that kind of thing. I'm going to believe God. And it just kept getting worse and worse. And so what would happen is, and this is really, this happened really before Jennifer had a revelation of grace, which you'll understand in a moment because of the way she treated me. Because what had happened after we had eaten supper, then about 3 or 4 hours later, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, it would really flare up, and I would be like, oh, and just moaning and groaning and just, you know, could not get relief, you know, with the pain, and it would last for an hour or so. And so anyway, finally, after weeks of this, Jennifer said, listen, you need to get healed. Because you're keeping me up at night. And I'm tired of not getting sleep. Like, she had no compassion for me whatsoever. Yeah, okay, honey, yeah, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God, he's promised us to heal us, you know, and all that kind of thing. Kept on, and she was getting really annoyed. And so finally, it got so bad, she said, listen, the next time you wake me up in the middle of the night. Again, it was all about her. It wasn't about me at all. The next time you wake me up, she said, We're going to the emergency room. Okay? I was like, okay, whatever. Well, that night was the worst attack ever. 2 o'clock in the morning, I am moaning, I am groaning, I am yelling out in pain. She goes, all right, get up, get out of the bed. I'm like, no, it's going to be okay. I said, get out of the bed, get dressed, we're going to the emergency room. Okay, okay. So went to the emergency room. They gave me something for pain. It was the most amazing stuff ever. And I was trying to figure out, can I take some of this home with me? No, you can't. I felt instant healing at that moment. And so anyway, they took an x-ray. Yep, it was my gallbladder. It says it's diseased. It has gallstones. It needs to be taken out. Like the diagnosis, like it's so bad, it's got to be taken out. So we need to schedule you for surgery. I said, I did what Shane did. Something just flipped on the inside of me. Thank you, Father. I have been trying to preach a message for the last 2 weeks. And I'm not going to get a chance to preach it again because he wants me to take a completely different approach here to faith for you guys. I hear this so strong in my spirit, so this is for you. Listen up very closely. Something flipped on the inside of me, on the inside of my heart, something in my will, something in my desire that said, God put that gallbladder in me, he created it, and it's not coming out. I had been able to manage the pain. I'd been able to put up with the situation. I'd been able, you know, and I'd pray. But then all of a sudden, something in me just like, no. Now this is serious. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just telling you, you'll put up with stuff that you can handle in life. That's just an annoying, that's a thing, and you'll just kind of deal with it. And you'll kind of say a prayer, and you'll kind of maybe be in faith over God, heal me, God, do this and that. But there comes a point in your life that you draw a line in the sand, and you will not let darkness encroach into the kingdom, because you are part of the property of the kingdom of God. You are part of Him. And He's given you authority over what you will allow in your life. You give Satan permission. The Bible says he goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for somebody that has opened a door through permission or whatever because they don't understand. The Bible also tells us, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Sometimes we just don't know better. And so we don't know better, or we pray and we wonder why God hasn't answered our prayers, because we don't recognize where we've allowed some things to happen in our lives. We don't understand exactly what God has done and what He's given to us in the realm of authority and dominion. He created us. It's all about dominion. What will you allow in your life? What will you allow in your life? I heard a story that somebody told that they lived in an old house, and they began to hear something in this old room under an old couch that sounded like rattling. They finally called somebody in to kind of look under there and at the couch, and guess what? There was a whole bed of rattlesnakes. Do you know what they did not do? They did not tell their kids, hey, I tell you what, you know, there's rattlesnakes in there, but we're just going to put up with them for a while. Just be cautious when you go play on the couch and things like that. And here's the thing. I promise you those rattlesnakes would have stayed there as long as they allowed them to. But when they found out that they were there, something switched. Oh no, we are going to get these things out of here because they're harmful to my family. They're harmful to my life. What have you allowed into your life that's harmful to your life, that's harmful to your family, that you've just put up with? Wrong thoughts, wrong thinking, wrong fears, unforgiveness towards other people. that continues to poison your heart, that continues to cause you to be bitter, that then as a result allows darkness to have a hold on you in such a way. But you're okay with it because you want justice, you want vindication, you want all of those things. It's a word from God for somebody. You're holding on to things that you don't recognize that they are striking at you and that they are just as poisonous or worse than a rattlesnake that would live in your house. Because they're poisoning you from the inside out, not from the outside in. Satan, darkness, is looking for whom he may devour. And so sometimes we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. We just don't know better. But you stay here at this church very long, you're going to find out your authority through Christ Jesus. You're going to find out how to live and reign through him. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says that those that receive abundance of grace, which means it's up to you to receive what God has already given. But if you don't receive what God has freely given, you will not experience what he has made available to you. Those that receive, go ahead and pull that up. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I want to talk to you for the next 10 or 15 minutes about persistent faith and being persistent in your heart, being persistent concerning the things of God, being maybe I could even rephrase it, having pit bull faith. You know what a pit bull, when a pit bull attacks, what does he do? He doesn't let go. Just grabs hold. Sometimes we've just been, you know, having chihuahua faith. We'll talk. But man, the bark is way worse than the bite. Man, you need to have, it's the ones that don't bark at you that you got to watch out for. Right? If by one man's offense, death reigned through him, talking about Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. See, it's about dominion. It's about reigning. But for me to qualify for this, for me to experience this, for me to experience the abundant life, again, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and experience it and have it more abundantly. For me to experience that life, I've got to position myself to receive abundance of grace. Now, what does that mean? It means, number one, I've got to understand what God has done for me. It also means I need to agree with what God has done for me. You know, if somebody were to give me a promotion at a job and say, look, I want to make you vice president of the corporation. Guess what? I have to accept the promotion to be able to experience the benefits of being a vice president. I have to say thank you very much. I'm glad to start work next Monday if you need for me to. But I will not enjoy the salary and the benefits of a vice president if I never receive what has freely been offered to me. You'll never experience what God has freely given and made available to you if you will never position yourself to agree with it, to receive it, and say thank you for it, and this is the way I'm living my life. You receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. I did a whole series in the spring called Squeaky Clean, Being Soaked in Righteousness. It's one of the most important things that you will ever experience. Do you know that James chapter 5 tells us that if there's any sick, I want to talk about healing for a moment. If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And it says, and let them anoint them with oil and pray over them. And then it says this, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. Not just prayer. Problem is, a lot of times people just pray, but they're not praying in faith. But faith is the only thing that will receive what God has freely provided. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the Bible says. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what enters into the spirit realm and receives out of it what God has freely promised us. The Bible talks about those who lived by faith. I challenge you to read through Hebrews chapter 11. See all of those. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abel offered a more sacrifice. By faith, Abraham. By faith, this that it took faith to receive the promises of God. That God just didn't pick great men and say, you know what? I want you to be a great story in the Bible. He didn't pick the people that would experience his blessing. They picked themselves because they chose to believe God. The children of Israel, as God was taking them out of Egypt and they saw his power and they saw his provision for them day after day after day and the protection that he did. He was taking them to a place. He says, I want to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. And as you go into there, I've given you this land. It was a past tense. I've already done it. I've given it to you. I just need you to show up. I just need you to say yes. They got there, and because they were so conditioned in their slavery, in their bondage, in not being able, thank you, Father. They were not able, even in the presence of seeing everything that God had done on a daily basis, their life of growing up as a slave, they were never able to break out of that mindset. They never were able to switch over to a place that says, man, what God says is true. What God has promised must be right. Out of 2 to 3 million people, only 2 people said, we are well able. Let's go up and take the land. The rest of them were still, because once 10 of them, the majority, began to say, nope, we can't do it. There's giants in the land. There's it eats up the inhabitants thereof. And we were as grasshoppers in our own sight. And you see, remember I said faith sees, faith speaks, and faith acts. What they had no faith, because what they saw was their inability to actually accomplish what God had promised them. But the problem is they were looking to themselves instead of looking to the God who promised. And so they were never able to take their minds out of their experience, take their minds out of their bondage. They always kept going back to the problems in their life. They always, over and over, if you read their story, would say, well, God, this time we're going to die. God delivers them. Then the next time when they have no water, well, God's brought us out here to kill us. God gives them water. Well, you know, we're tired of having this manna every morning, so we need some meat. But God's not going to do that. God gives them meat. Over and over, they kept limiting God. They kept testing God. They kept saying, you're not good enough. This time you're not good enough. This time you're not good enough. Has your experience created a mindset that maybe this time God's not going to come through? You got to change your view of God.
Yeah.
And because of their unbelief, they did not go into the land of Israel, the land that he had given them. That whole generation, it was never God's plan for them. It wasn't God's will for them. God's will was for that whole generation to go in. It would have been a glorious, amazing thing. But because they could not believe him, it says, because of their unbelief. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. It's the last verse there. Let me just pull that up. In Hebrews chapter 3, And I know I have it somewhere. Yeah, let's go to 19. Let's try there. Let's see if Shane's right. Oh, it's on the screen. Let's see if the screen is. Good. So we see, look, here's what he's talking about. So we see that they could not, I want you to get this very clearly. They could not enter in because of what? It doesn't say they couldn't enter in because God didn't want them to come in. It doesn't say that they couldn't enter in because that was God's plan for their life. They could not. Something in their heart prevented them from entering in. Can I say it this way? Faith enters in before you physically enter in. They could not enter in with their heart, and so they did not enter in with their life. You have to make a decision. You have to be persistent that what God said is true. As you embrace that with your heart, as you embrace that as the truth for your life, so shall it be, and so will you experience. What God has planned for you is amazing. What God has planned, He says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. Everything that God has prepared for them that love Him. What He's prepared for you is beyond anything you could possibly imagine. Listen to me, Christian. Listen to me, child of God. Stop limiting what you think God can do in your life. We have churches now filled with people that just want a marginal Christian experience. Let me have a good praise and worship service. Let me have some good teaching. Let me experience kind of a good fellowship, that kind of thing. And then they leave out never really experiencing the life that God has for them, where they can be filled with joy, filled with peace, healed and whole, where they can experience where they can experience His comfort, where they can experience freedom from fear. We don't have to experience the anger and the disappointment, the disillusionment that our nation has been going through. We don't have to have bitterness concerning the different political parties and what our government is going through. We can live a life because we have a government that is the most amazing government ever, and that is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what He's provided for me goes beyond anything that the U.S. government can do for me. Them guys got no clue what's going on, but my Jesus knows what I need in my life, and He's made every provision available for me. Amen. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Perhaps there's some unbelief in your life. So a switch, something happened in me that I said, no, I will not. I'm drawing a line. This gallbladder is not going to be taken out. Father, I thank You. You promised me, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, by Jesus' stripes, healing has been made available for me. It says over in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Listen, you need to know more of truth. You need to know more of the Word than you need to know about what so-and-so on television is saying, what so-and-so on the radio is saying. In other words, if you can't at a ready moment find the Word concerning your situation, it means that you need to spend a little more time meditating in the Word. Psalm 1 tells us, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel. Let's just pull it up. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1:1. My question is, what counsel are you walking in today? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, what other people, unsaved people that are, what are they telling you, and whose opinion are you listening to, and whose input do you value the most? Do you value the opinions of those around you that they're going through the same problem that you are with no victory in their life and they don't have a track record of success? Or are you valuing what God has said in His Word concerning you? Blessed is a man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, you've decided you're going to spend time with, fellowship with, develop relationships with people that believe God, that are righteous. In other words, you're not going to just come to church and say, now I'm good for the rest of the week and I'm just going to, you know, continue to hang out with my old friends that don't know anything about God. No, what? Because you're saying you value those relationships more than you do what relationships that can be found in God.
Yeah, that's good.
Next verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God. And in His Word, he meditates day and night, man. Not because he's trying to get something, not because he's trying to do something. He loves it. You got to cultivate for yourself a heart that wants to understand and to know God's Word, His promises, because only I can't experience the goodness of God if I don't know what the goodness of God is. And so as a result of that, this person, it says, he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is truth. This isn't just available for the super dupers. It's not just available for a few selected few. This is for every one of every child of God, every one of his children. He wants you to be a success. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to experience his best. He wants you to be filled with all of his fullness. It's Ephesians chapter 3. So I made a decision. God, you said, by your stripes, I am healed. Jesus, Matthew 8:17, you took my sicknesses. You took my diseases so that I wouldn't have to have them. Psalm 107, verse 20, you sent your word and you healed me. And so I'm drawing a line in the sand. This gallbladder will not come out in Jesus' name, but it is healed by the stripes of Jesus. I had dealt with this for well over a year, and the doctors were saying it needed to come out. And so I just wanted to kind of add on to Shane's testimony here. In the same way, I drew a line in the sand. Something switched on the inside of me. And I will tell you, from that moment forward, not another problem, not another symptom. I was instantly healed. I still got my gallbladder. That's awesome, isn't it? And that happened 9 or 10 years ago, and I've never had another problem with it. Let me talk to you. In Mark chapter 5, there was this woman. There was this woman that she had an issue of blood for, you know, just this flow of blood for 12 years. Bible says that she kept going to the doctor. She spent everything that she had, went to all the specialists, did everything, and now she's dirt poor. She can't afford to go to the doctor. And it says they didn't make the problem better. It got worse. But along the way, with no natural hope, she was just going to have to deal with this for the rest of her life. She heard of a man. She heard of Jesus. She heard that there's somebody out there that could heal her, that people are being healed. But she had a problem. Jesus wasn't going to come to her house. Yet, in the laws of that day, this flow of blood made her unclean, and she was not allowed to go out into public. She was not allowed, because if she touched somebody else, then that would make them unclean. And so the penalty for something like that was death. So she could have sat there for the rest of her life hearing about Jesus, hoping that he would heal her, hoping he would come by, you know, and maybe show up. God, please send him to my house. God, please do this, or that kind of thing. And she would have died in her state. But something rose up on the inside of her. She said, you know, if I could just touch his clothes, I don't even need him to heal. Somewhere, he said, the power's in him. If I can just touch him, I'll be healed. And man, the more, remember I said, faith sees, faith speaks, and faith acts. Man, the more she got to thinking about that day after day, wow, you know, if Jesus, if I could just somehow get to him and touch him, I would be healed. And the more she thought about it, and the more she talked about it, man, the more this thing grew and the image of it grew on the inside of her. Man, if I could just, wow, if I could just get to Jesus, I would be healed. Wow, if I could just get there, man, I would be, wow. And the more she talked about it, until one day, she talked herself right into doing it. One day, the picture of that thing, the desire was so strong, you know, to get to him, that all of a sudden, the law didn't matter anymore. All of a sudden, the possibility of getting stoned anymore. All of a sudden, all of that was small compared to her desire to get to him. Something grew. It didn't happen in an instant. It grew over time. You meditate in the Word. Hold up for just a second, guys. You meditate in the Word. You see it. You magnify God. You let it become so big that nothing, that you're not going to be satisfied living this way anymore. You're not going to be satisfied at your financial place anymore. You're not going to be satisfied living in depression anymore. You're not going to be satisfied living with the addiction anymore. You've had enough. You're done. Let's just get out there and let's just find out if everything that Life of Faith Church is teaching and what Pastor Mark is teaching and what I see in the Word about Jesus. Let's find out, God, are you real Jesus? Do you really heal? Is it really true? I'm just ready to find out, and I'm through straddling the fence. You know, I'm just going to go for it. And so she just got out, went into the street, heard that Jesus was coming to town, and began, and guess what? There was a whole crowd around him, and she didn't care that she was touching people on the way to try to get to him. And she didn't care that she was weak and what she had to get to. She was so determined. Something switched on the inside of her. She wasn't even trying to get Jesus' attention. She was just hoping that she could come up behind and just touch, because, man, something had just grown up on the inside of her. And when she finally pushed her way through the crowd the whole time, get this, guys. Listen. The crowds are touching Jesus. All of them are just kind of, because the disciples said, you know, they're all touching you. Because Jesus, after she touched him, it said he felt power come out of him. Now get this. This is so important. This is why faith is so important. He felt power go out, and he said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples were like, "What do you mean? Everybody's touching you." He said, "Somebody touched me with a different touch." Jesus could be here physically in this room, and you see him, and he could walk through. You could reach up and touch him. We could all gather around him, and you wouldn't get a thing. You wouldn't experience anything except be amazed. Wow, Jesus is here. Because just the fact that he's here isn't going to produce healing for your life. Right. Just the fact that he's here isn't going to cause your problems to go away. Right. What was different about her and the rest of the crowds? Faith. She believed something. And when she touched him, it released the power of God that was in him to flow into her body, and instantly she felt herself get healed. And instantly Jesus knew it. And instantly he turned around, and as he's talking to her and saw her that had done this thing, he said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." She was determined. She was persistent. "I am going to get my miracle from God. I'm going... if I can just get there." There was a blind man in Mark chapter 9 by the name of Bartimaeus, either chapter 9 or chapter 10. And when he heard that Jesus was coming, he heard a commotion. And this blind man was sitting by the roadside, and he was begging. begging, you know, and that's it was his lifestyle. It's the only way he could sustain himself. And he heard this huge crowd coming. So he asked somebody, what's happening? And they said, Jesus is coming by. And so instantly he's like, Jesus, the healer, that's what he's thinking. Oh my God, I need to get his attention. And so he starts saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so, you know, all the religious people are like, you're being too loud right now. You need to calm down a little bit. Okay, you're being a little bit too fanatical. All right, we need to be more honorable and more respectful. So if you could bring it down a little bit, that would be great. And you know what the Bible says about him? Yes. It says, he cried the loud, Jesus, Son of David. In other words, he didn't let the crowd determine his behavior. He didn't let what everybody else was saying determine how he was going to act. He had one thing in mind, one thought in mind. I'm about to get my miracle. I'm not going to let Jesus pass by without me getting my miracle. I'm going to make sure that I reach out with a touch of faith and I'm going to have him here. And it says because of that persistence, because of him doing that, it said Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still, commanded him to be brought. But you know what's cool about this story? You know, Bartimaeus, he had his beggar's coat on. He had this coat on that signified that he was a beggar and that he was legalized to be begging on the street. That was his garment. Bible says that he took that thing off, lay that thing down before, and went on over to Jesus because he knew. I mean, he had made his decision that he wasn't going to be begging no more. He wasn't going to have to do. He wasn't going to be blind no more. So I don't need that coat no more. And he shows up to Jesus, and check this out. Listen, you would think that Jesus, being God, would know what to do. You would think. Jesus asked him, and said, "What do you want?" Now, you and I would say, that's a dumb question. What do you want? But Jesus could only minister to him where the man's heart was. You will only receive from God to the level of where your faith is and what you have determined and what you have said, I receive, God. Thank you, Father, for healing me. Thank you. And so the man said, I want my sight. I want to be healed. And then Jesus just simply said, then according to your faith, be it unto you. And just the fact, listen to this, his faith, what happened? He had faith. All he needed to do was hear the word. And that faith was mixed with the word spoken, his sight returned just like that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let's take a look at this. Guys, you can go ahead and start playing now. Thank you. Thank you for being up here and thank you for your patience. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. The previous verses said, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. If you're hoping for God to do something, if you're just saying, God, just do whatever you want to do in my life, And you're taking no responsibility in believing his promises, then you'll never really experience his best for your life. They could not enter into the land that God had given them because of unbelief. The next verse here says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear lest any of us should seem to come short of it. Look at verse 2. For indeed the gospel, the good news, was preached to us as well as to them. But the word that they heard did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in those who heard it. I can preach the word to you. I can teach the word to you. But unless you believe the word that has been spoken, it will not help you at all. And I want to challenge you this morning to be persistent about what God has promised, to be persistent about the truth of who Jesus is, to be persistent about what He's made available for His children. Don't be a sissy Christian. Don't be somebody who's just like, whatever. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Whatever God wants me to have will be fine. No. He has already given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Now we need to step out in faith and choose to believe Him. A good God, would you stand with me, please? Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we just love You. We thank You. We glorify You. You have made a way for us. You have made a way for us. We sang that song that the veil has been torn. It's been ripped apart. The veil that separated us to be able to come into Your presence. Jesus took that all out of the way, and we can come boldly to the throne room of grace. Boldly to the throne room of all of Your promises. Boldly to the throne room of Your goodness. Without fear, without shame, without guilt, without condemnation. Just a child coming to his father saying thank You. But as we come there, Father, we thank You that we can come boldly in faith and confidence that what You've promised, You'll perform in our lives. We can be just like Abraham, being fully persuaded that what You promised, You would do. Father, there's no shifting with You. There's no deceit with You. You don't pull the rug out from people. When Moses said, I want to see Your glory, You said, then I'm going to make all My goodness pass before You. Your glory isn't hidden. Your glory isn't difficult. Your glory is about Your goodness. And as we would be like that woman with the issue of blood, as we would be like Bartimaeus, as we would get persistent, have pit bull dog faith, if you will, and just say, I'm absolutely holding on and clamping on to what You've promised me, to what You've provided for me. And I don't care what my experience has been, and I don't care what I've gone through, and I don't care that I haven't even seen what I'd hoped to be a manifestation of a particular promise. I'm not looking at that. Jesus, I magnify You. I'm going to make You bigger. I'm going to meditate on You just like that woman in her house, that she thought about it, talked about it until she couldn't help but get up and work her way through the crowd to get to You. I'm going to be that way about Your word. You said it, and it's absolutely true, regardless of what I experience. Thank You, Father. Wow. Right now, man, God is already working on people's hearts. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Some of you are going to start seeing some things very, very rapidly, even today, because you've decided you've had enough. You're not going to put up with it anymore. You're not going to let the rattlesnake stay under the couch anymore. You're done. And right now, your faith in Him is releasing Him to be manifested in your life to destroy the works of the devil. I said your faith in Him right now. Listen, Jesus is in you. Jesus is with you. And as you just trust Him, your faith. Some of you need to cast off the coat of bad experience. Some of you need to take your coat off of self-pity. Some of you need to stop saying, poor me, look at what this always happens to me. If you want to experience a different life, then you need to start thinking differently. You need to start believing differently. If you believe you're blessed, then start acting like you're blessed. I'm telling you, faith and pity doesn't work together. Amen. Father, we receive that now in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. 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 It's going to be good testimony come from that. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here, so we're done. We're done with that part of the service. Let me tell you what we got coming up this week. You can be praying. We're finishing parking lot. Should be done by Wednesday. Thank you, Jesus. Everything's good. So Wednesday night we have we're letting Sean Bowles come in, use this facility, and so they're going to have probably 800 people. You know, if you can volunteer, please volunteer. You know, and help. Jacob, where are you? Jacob, are you here? Jacob's over there. Jacob, way in the back. If you want to volunteer to help, we probably need some help with parking, things like that. Please talk to him. We want to help people and bless them. But the big thing for you guys, for us, and what we do every year, our big conference starts Thursday. The Birmingham Grace Conference. Rob Rufus, Ryan Rufus, his son. You guys are going to love him. Although he teaches during the day, but you're going to love him. Jeremiah Johnson, fantastic. Me, Trisha Gunn. It's going to be awesome. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go to, if you want to look at the schedule, look at BirminghamGraceConference.com. BirminghamGraceConference.com. And it's going to be amazing. Come, be a part. Try not to miss a session if you can. The theme for this year, Rob says, is just crossing thresholds into new, bigger spaces, bigger places. Are you ready to go to the next level in your relationship with God? Are you ready for the more that comes from God? Then I want you to step out in faith. Come to this conference expecting to hear a word from God, expecting to not be the same. You're going to bring with you, as you guys come, an atmosphere of faith that's going to work on the lives of the visitors and other people that come in. I'm telling you, we can be the carriers of the grace of God and the presence of God in this place for this conference. So don't just come to receive, come to also be a part with your faith, with your prayers, with your attendance in Jesus' name. And we just believe every need is taken care of. And so thank you, God, for it. I want to pray with you real quick over your giving, and then we're going to be dismissed. Father, we just thank you. We thank you have abounded towards us. We thank you, Father, that we're blessed to be a blessing. And thank you, Father, that if we believe that you've blessed us, that we're just, that here at Life of Faith, we're just generous. We thank you that we're just generous. We're not just generous here at the church and for the church, generous to other ministries, but generous to people that we come in contact with. I heard the Lord say this earlier this morning as I was meditating. Some of you need to learn how to be generous in giving tips to waitresses and waiters. A generous person, one who believes he's blessed, will bless others. And if you're trying to figure out how to cut corners and to pinch pennies, it's because you haven't accepted in your heart that God has blessed you. And so just that very action of trying to not be a blessing to your waiter or waitress is an indication of what you really believe in your heart. And could be the reason why you haven't experienced God's generosity in your life, because you shut off the flow. Be generous. A faithful man, a generous person will abound with blessing. Father, we thank you that we can give, that we can be generous in every area in Jesus' name. Thank you for multiplying seeds sown. Thank you for increasing the fruits of our righteousness. And we thank you that every need for the conference is taken care of. We declare that the budget will be more than met in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Father, for that free flow of resources that comes in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you dismiss, Life of Faith Church family, let's give all our first-time guests a hand clap. Let's just welcome them. We thank you so much for being a part. We love you. If there's anything that we can do for you, let us know. There's information in the back of your seats on how to give. We don't pass a bucket here. So just give freely. give willingly, but go out and have pit bull faith, persistent faith this week. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you at some of the conference.
That was awesome.
That was, yeah, as soon as you...